or the number of marriages that are broken up. They break truces constantly. People don't even want to get married. They don't. We want our cake and we want to eat it too. There's a saying, or if you look on a website that just got exposed, that was basically all about adultery, and their little slang was "life is short, have an affair." And it was when this was exposed, all kinds of people who were, some were famous pastors, all kinds of people, they found this out. They got their information exposed, and people were killing themselves and all that because they got exposed. And this is the kind of world we're living in, sinning in secret. False accusers, that word means, is actually pronounced diablos. False accuser, diablos. You ever heard of Diablo? El Diablo? It means slanderous. False, to accuse falsely. So when somebody is doing that, you're acting like the devil. If they're actually, the name of that is Diablo. Incontinent, or without self-control. There seems to be a growing trend, even on YouTube, and of young people who act foolishly for the sake of a few laughs and more likes at the expense of human decency and humiliation. And we see this all the time. This no self-control. Do what you want. Doesn't matter. It's promoted. It's encouraged. People like it. Fierce, savage, we see this, that even the word, it's animeros, it sounds like animal, and we see people acting savagely and all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to continue to go in a lot of detail. Despisers of those that are good. Many movements today hate Christianity. They, and I mean, wholeheartedly just accuse us of all kinds of things and say hateful things and for doing something that's just right. It's right, and we get just chastised and accused and beat down, and because we're doing the right thing. And so these people, they despise that which is good. Traitors, were a betrayer. We see that. Heady, this means is sloping precipitously or perilously steep. You know, the number of, or the statistics of Christian young people who go to school or go off to college, but then become an atheist, or they give up their beliefs or lose their faith. It's astounding at the number of sloping decline and all that is good when they go off to school and they leave all their little, what was taught to them when they were younger. It's amazing, those statistics that we see today. High-minded or rude and arrogant. Lovers of pleasure. Obviously, loving pleasure. We spend billions of dollars on fun every year. America alone, lovers of pleasure. The next word is more than lovers of God. Of course, the world we see today is trying to deny God at every angle. Even in our country that says "In God We Trust" is trying to absolutely get God out of everything. And so, by far, it is lovers of pleasures more than lovers of good or of God. Having a form of godliness. Bear with me, I'm going somewhere. Having a form of godliness or looking like godliness, but denying or recanting, rejecting, refusing the power. That word is dunamis, or strength, power, ability. That's power for performing miracles. That's the power. That's the substance of it. They're denying the actual substance, the power, the God part of the godliness. They're denying the power thereof. Many churches today deny much of the history, the validity, all the stuff that really makes it about God, and they're just minimizing it, all for the sake of their own prerogative or their own movement or their own money or whatever it is, but they're denying the power thereof. Yes, we believe that these things happen, but we don't believe miracles are for today. We don't believe that you should do this. We don't believe. Well, then what do you believe? So there's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Even coming to church, you know, even just people who are even in the movement, we can deny the power of God. When people who are apostolic, we'll deny the power of God by the lifestyle that we live, by the way that we act, by the things that we see and the things that we do. We'll deny the power. We'll have a form of godliness when we'll come to church and we'll clap our hands, but we'll deny the actual power of God. And then it says, from such turn away. And then it says, for of this sort are they which creep. You know what? I'm going to summarize all this. For they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. My version severely broke down. These kinds of people, they fantasize about all kinds of forbidden and desirous acts. You could break that down a lot. But the words creep or sneak and captive or capture, which was pretty interesting, these are all words that come to mind when I say the word pornography, a multi-billion-dollar industry. So I'm just saying, without even having to act on it physically, you got there's it's everywhere. It's in everything. It's all if you turn on your computer, it's just waiting to, you know, it's just right there. It's all over the place. So yes, we see that today, absolutely. Ever learning, that word is, that means to increase one's knowledge, to be increased in knowledge. Higher education, it's in commonplace now. It's easy. A lot of people can go to college. We see that. And never able. Able means is dunamai. That's one's own ability and resources. That's the power of one's own ability. So they're never able to come to the knowledge or the correct knowledge of the truth. And that's the truth in the matter of the to be considered. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So without the Spirit of God, if you're denying the power and the Spirit of God, you're definitely not going to see the picture in what God is saying in this day and age. That's everywhere. That's all. This is the kind of world we live in. Even this, even churches, even things that they considered spiritual are denying absolutely everything that is godly in power, everything that is godly in holiness, everything that is the mind and the spirit and the ways of God, it's being denied. They have a form of knowledge. They have an understanding. They are ever learning. They're studying every little jot, every little tittle, every little thing, every little word, but they're missing what's being said because there is a motive there. There is a knowledge which is all wrapped up in pride. There's all wrapped up in my own motivation and my understanding. I'm smarter. And you can't talk to somebody who absolutely knows everything and will not submit themselves and will not humble themselves to God, to the word, to their elders, to anybody. We see this. Absolutely. So when I read all of that, individually, all of these adjectives or characteristics that describe men in the end days or the end times, it's pretty troublesome. Just individually, each one of these things, it's a problem. We have kids who are acting disobedient. That's a problem. But imagine what it would be like if something promoted all of these all the time at once. That would be pretty hard to handle, right? Can you think of anything? The media, TV, internet, social websites, video games, phones can unapologetically exhale all of these ungodly characteristics in one episode, one commercial, one video game, one pop-up advertisement, and yet we keep going back for more. What I'm saying, I'm not pointing fingers, and I'm not preaching against or teaching against entertainment or fun, but I'm talking about a little bit of balance. I'm talking about not falling headlong and eating the drinking the Kool-Aid. Drunk off of the fantasy of another life, an alternate reality, a life that seems more appealing, we inadvertently accept blatant immorality in exchange for the adventure, the action, the mystery, the entertainment. In our ever-waging and mostly unconscious pursuit of entertainment, we often eat the meat and choke on the bones. The saying actually goes that to eat the meat and spit out the bones, but we become so desensitized that by popular culture that we think we're eating boneless. We think we're eating some chicken fingers, but we don't know that what we're eating is full of bones and we're choking on them. It's riddled with things that you don't know. In fact, I've said this before, but you know what rat poisoning is? Rat poisoning is 95% good food, but a little bit, 5% is what kills you. And that's just something to think about. You think that you're eating good stuff, but it's riddled with poison. It has become our lifestyle to be entertained. Our time and our energy and our thoughts have been infiltrated by entertainment. We actually justify hours of television and videos and Netflix. We applaud and even endorse watching whole seasons of a favorite show. If we don't think that we are being influenced by this, then we're being deceived. If we don't think that we're being influenced by all the stuff that we put before us, and I'm not pointing fingers by any means. I'm just saying, if we don't think that we're being influenced by this, You know the song that you hear one time and then it's just in your head all day long? You know those little things that you don't think that stuff stays with you, especially if you watch hours and hours and hours of it. Or you put yourself in certain situations where you watch just the right thing that is going to take you in the wrong direction. You know that you're being deceived. You're definitely being influenced. Proverbs chapter 23, 3 through 7. Be not desirous of his dainties or expensive, tasty, or savory food. That's what that word, dainties. For they are deceitful meat. They are a deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make thyself wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you think in your heart, so you think, we get this idea of how life should be. We see it all the time. All of a sudden, we're just kind of automatically walking down this path, and we're like, well, why am I going this way? I don't know, everybody else is doing that. I just figured that's what we're supposed to do. I'm just eating it. I'm completely just swallowing it down, taking up what society says, and I'm just going for it. We don't even know. And we're just accepting it. We're just swallowing it down. This is what the mainstream media, if you watch, then if you're just relying on the news to tell you where to go, you're going to be completely deceived because you don't think they have their agenda. And this is just something we got to be careful of. You think they're honest. You think the world and the internet is honest. It's not. We're being deceived. We think that this is all the truth. No, we know what the truth is. We know where we can find. If you want truth, we know how to, you know where it's at. And the lens in which we view the world should absolutely be the Bible. So as a kid, I used to watch, I mean, if I saw a fighting movie or something with fighting, just as a kid, I don't know. I found myself, for some reason, after I'm watching that, wanting to fight. I just wanted to be a ninja. I wanted to do the things that I saw. It affected me. It put me in the mood. You know, it affected me. Or if you'd ever watched a love movie, unrealistically, people, they want to fall in love, and movies provoke a response. These kinds of ideas, these kinds of things, they provoke a response, and it infiltrates a mindset that you find yourself agreeing with, even if you really don't agree with it in real life. You just, for the sake of the plot and for understanding the movie, you kind of put your agreement hat on, and you say, okay. And in ways, we let it infiltrate us because we, you know, it's just a movie. And I'm just saying, I'm going somewhere. Have you ever noticed how we justify people's bad behaviors in movies? A movie where something bad happens to somebody and the rest of the movies or whatever, he's about getting his revenge. And we're like, he deserves it. Get your revenge. Completely against everything you actually believe in. Completely. But for that moment, you're letting, I mean, I'm just saying, if all the stuff happens in our heart, but yet we're kind of lower ourselves, it's funny. I'm just saying this because it makes you think about it. It makes you think about, okay, I say I don't believe in these things, and absolutely, but yet when no one's around, I watch hours of this, and I agree with it, and I get involved in it. And then you know what's funny? Next time I'm driving my car, someone cuts me off, I want to kill them. I want to destroy them. I want them, and I'm just saying, and oh, that's not, oh. But we spend hours putting our mind and agreeing with these things. A movie, maybe, I'm just saying how we kind of justify people's bad behaviors. A movie where two unmarried people fall in love and then act upon it. And we're like, oh, well, they loved each other for the movie's sake. It was great. A movie where the main character cheats on his unbecoming yet still lawfully wedded wife for someone more likable. And we're like, yeah, I saw that in the beginning. They should have been together anyway, and it's fine. And it's absolutely, do you really believe that? Is that what you would really do? And I'm just saying, think about it. We even cheer for this to happen. We get so involved in it that we want it to happen. Our constant viewing and subsequent constant approval can inadvertently wear away at our moral standards of separation and holiness. Our thoughts are being infiltrated by the approvals of our heart, our feelings. Our thoughts are being infiltrated by the things that we approve of. Because after a while, it starts to affect us. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Meaning, you can't agree. I mean, if you're walking with somebody, if you're going in the same direction, can you walk together unless you agree? Living our life filled with social media and video games and movies is walking with entertainment and agreeing with the world. We are approving of and agreeing with something when we continue to pursue it despite its inappropriate or adverse nature. And it will affect us. So whether or not you actually agree with it, but by our continual putting it before us, by our continual letting it become before our eyes, into our hearts, into our mind, continuously we're agreeing with that. We're saying that it's okay. And if we don't think that it's affecting us, I want you to think about certain things in your life. Have you been acting in certain ways? Have you been struggling with something? Have you been battling with certain things? And if so, think about it. Could it have anything to do with your alone time? I mean, do you spend a lot of time in entertainment? Because if you think about it, entertainment is it's feeling. It's feeling good. And I'm not against entertainment, and I'm not against having fun. Jesus went to weddings, and he had fun, and so I'm not against that. I'm talking about balance, and I'm talking about quality of entertainment. I'm talking about what we do for hours and hours and hours. If we're at church and we're excited to get home to watch the movie, then we got it backwards. We should be at home excited because we get to go to church. Because that's where, I mean, I'm saying if this is happening and I need to think about it, we're in a backslidden state of mind. And if we continue to think that we're going to make it by just living life and being excited by spending the hours of numbing out on things that don't matter, then we're missing the mark. We're not living as the Christians that God wanted us to be. We're missing the mark. If we're more excited because we get to go watch the next episode, then we're excited over something that is going to, it means zero. It means nothing in your eternal life. And it means nothing for your neighbor's eternal life. And if anything, it is pulling you backwards, and you're just not swimming anymore, and you're going downstream. You're not swimming anymore because, you know what, it feels good. I don't really want to work. I don't want to do anything, and I'm just going to keep going down the mainstream of media and life, and you're all of a sudden in a place that you never thought you could ever be, or you're falling off of a waterfall. And that's what happens. When we stop swimming, the likeliness that we're going to go off a waterfall is a lot greater. It's true. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We must be still. That word still means to withdraw. Be still. Withdraw, relax, let go. We need to be still and know that he is God. We need to make time. It doesn't have to be just entertainment. It's whatever we do that consumes our whole life. We need to be still. We need to withdraw from everything that takes our mind and our heart and everything that just consumes us, even if it's our own good, godly activity, but we're not really talking to God. We're not really knowing him. We're just kind of just, we're doing the work. We're downloading, we're ever learning, but we're not really able to come to the knowledge. We think that just study is enough. No, he wants relationship. We need to push away, withdraw from all of our fun all the time, or all of the things that consume our life, and just spend time with him. Be still. Think about things. We must take time out of our entertainment-driven and distracting lives to listen to God and his voice. We're living in a time that it's really like no other time because when something bad happens, let's just say you go through a hard time, you lose something, you lose someone, you go through a hard time. Back in the day, people had time to deal with it. Something bad happened, they had to walk home, they drove their horse home, whatever. They weren't being completely pulled all the time. Their phone wasn't ringing off the hook. Their TV wasn't on. They didn't have to go to their next appointment. They didn't have to go. We're living at a time that really robs your thought life. It robs your time. And people, they actually used to have time to think about things, to dwell on it, to pray about it, to kind of debrief, if you will. You know how to, after they go on a mission, they debrief, go through it, kind of get it out, talk about it, think about it, instead of just acting on it, acting on your feelings. You just kind of, you get a little bit of time to debrief. You think about things. And that makes sense. If you think about now the number of depression, the people who are suffering from depression are on all kinds of stuff. They're suicidal. There's so much stress today because people have so much going on. There's so much. It's one thing and then the next thing. We're slaves to our jobs. We're slaves to everything else, and we come home, and we're just so burned out that we go on to the next thing. You know what it stinks is that instead of dealing with all the problems that we got to solve with the people and the relationships that really matter, we just get out our phone, and we'll go and we'll play a game. We'll numb out watching hours of endless videos that don't matter on YouTube or Facebook, and just we don't actually deal with things. We don't deal with life. We don't think about life. We just numb out. We numb out. We'll spend hours of it. And if this doesn't apply to you, but it probably applies to somebody that you know or that you're related to or something like that, but we have to make sure that we make time for what matters. And whatever consumes our life, we must make time for our forever. If you think about it, this life is, I know it seems long, and it really, and as far as my understanding goes, it is long. But forever is way longer. It's way longer. Forever, that's eternity. Try to think about 100 years and then 1,000 years and then 1,000,000 years. It's, you can't even think about it. Forever is a long time. Your forever absolutely matters. And the way that we live in these few moments of time, the blink of an eye, the way that we live now can affect our forever. And if we are getting sucked into the trap of mainstream media and the way that life is being taught for us to live, and if we just kind of walk along and drink the Kool-Aid, then we're going to miss out on what God's trying to say. This is exactly what the devil loves it. In fact, he'll probably even allow things to happen, good things to happen to you, just as long as you miss the mark. Just as long as you completely step past and you miss what God's trying to tell you. He loves it if you're just almost right. If you're almost right, oh, he's like, great, that's great. Because you're still absolutely wrong. You can be a good person and miss the mark. You can say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful things? Haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we done all these wonderful works? And he'll still say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I don't know you. You never took the time to be still. You never took the time to actually think about what was going on. You never took the time to give me the credit. You never took the time to ask me before you did that. And so now you've missed the mark. Yes, you had the form of godliness, but you denied my power, and you did it by yourself. And now you're made a mess, and you want my help. And he'll still help you. And he's still a good God. He doesn't change. He loves you. But I'm saying, while we live and while we breathe, we must be aware. We must make time for what matters. We must make time to be still. We must withdraw from what's so easily waved in front of us. It's like bait, and we go for it. We must make time like it's running out, because it is. I don't know how many chances you're going to have for that one thing to come before you. I don't know how many opportunities you're going to have for that one person. I don't know how many opportunities you're going to have to take advantage of that time to really think about, to not get all those phone calls. You might have a moment of time where you can kind of just decompress and ponder the works of God, the goodness of God, the word of God, the mind of God, what God's trying to say to you, what God might mean in this situation. Think about what is God saying instead of going to look for a word that somebody else might have for you. Instead of going to listen to just a CD that, yeah, God will speak to you, but I want you to know, what is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you about the situation? And a lot of times we'll do a cop-out thing where we'll just try to go and we'll plop in a CD, we'll turn on the audio, or we'll just go and we'll try to get a word from somebody else. We'll try to get some help in the situation, but we won't actually stop and listen for the voice of God. We won't actually stop and try to do this whole relationship thing for ourselves. And we're having a form of godliness, and we're ever learning, but we're denying the power. We're living as a Christian life without God. And we can't do that because we will absolutely not make it. And Even though stopping time is impossible, being still for a moment and considering the creator of time and his investment in your life can bring about a focus that is timeless, that goes along. If we actually took time, and it's, I don't know if you've ever noticed, I don't know if you've ever fasted or you've ever walked in, you're walking somewhere and you just notice the beauty of God's creation and the things that he has set before you. And I know this doesn't always happen, but when we actually have God thoughts and let God speak to us, it's amazing because it changes our focus. It changes our mind. If we don't pray through, if we don't put on the mind of Christ, then we just keep our stinking thinking and we just keep reacting instead of proacting or whatever. We keep missing out on what God wants us to do. He wants us to put on the mind of Christ. He wants us to see things through his eyes so that we can do his will, to be his people. If we're his people and we're doing his will, why do we do it without him? Why do we say, I am a Christian, why am I struggling with these things, but yet I do nothing about anything that I believe in? And we go along and we continue to react, we continue to plop in the video, we continue to have the form of godliness, we have this outward appearance of a Christian, but we go home and we live for the devil. I'm just saying, we all struggle with this. Our humanity is real. We want to eat. We want to drink. We want to do all these things. But we deny the spirit. We deny the power. We deny the actual life. It's so much better. The life that God has for us is so much better than what we think. We think our way is good because you can see right here, but we can't see around the corner. We can't see what God has in store for you. You don't know what's going to happen. And so we just act with our knowledge of the very moment, and we miss out. We do it all the time. You can probably think of a situation where you just reacted and completely regretted it. Anybody know what I'm saying? Just like, oh, they did this, react, and it came back and got you. We need to start putting on the mind of Christ. We need to be still. Removing ourselves from the woes of society and the carnality of culture allows one to... For one, to clean the lenses of life spectacles and view the beauty of God's creation. So if we take a step back for a moment and we let God have his way in our life, speak to us, and we step out of that culture and that carnality, it's amazing the things that, you know what, we always pray for an answer, but sometimes if you actually start viewing things through the eyes of God, you see options, opportunities all around us. In fact, as people, they're not just problems. They're also, sometimes it's opportunities. Sometimes it's opportunities for God, for witness. Sometimes if we actually start thinking about what God is trying to say in the moment, it completely changes the situation. Instead of hating people, you start to realize that they're broken. God loves them. I love them. They're hurt. It changes your perspective. We need to step back. And then knowing. Be still and know. How do you know somebody? You spend time. You try to relate with. You have a relationship. You know. So be still and know that I am God. If we could all stand. God's not concerned. He's not worried. He knows. He's going to have a church with or without us. He is going to do his, he's going to have his way. I want to be in that way. I don't want to be a Christian because I said I am. Back in the day, they were called Christians because they were like Jesus Christ. And I want to be called a Christian. And not just because of my works, but because of the power thereof that's emanating from the lifestyle that I live. Because of what I put in my heart and what I put in my mind, by my answers, by my responses, I want it to reflect godliness. I want it to reflect the character and the wisdom of God. And I pray that that's something that we strive for. Not just a quick fix, not just a, hey, I'm putting on my Christian hat for a moment, and then I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live like the rest of the world, and no one's going to ever know what I actually believe in. and I need to live the way God wants me to live. Let's go ahead and pray real quick. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness, for the way that you laid out before us. Lord, for the truth that is everlasting. Lord, you are almighty and all-powerful. God, help me to be able to make time to be still in your presence, to hear your voice, to hear what you're saying to me, Lord, specifically, individually to me, and what you want from me to do, how to act, where to go, how to respond, Lord, that I might know you, that I might know you, Lord God, that I might live the way that you want me to live, that I might be a light in this dark world. I thank you, Jesus, for your truth here today, and I thank you for what's going to continue to happen in this generation and this people, Lord, that it is not over yet, but Lord, we are aware that you are still moving, that there is power in your name, that there is power in your word, and Lord, it's not over yet. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to eat this word. I'm going to learn about what I believe in, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to be the church, because today is the day that I must live for you. Lord, I thank you for the truth and the power of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We got about 10 minutes left, so go greet somebody and just be still and know. Amen.